Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hunker Down Guide podcast. And I'm your host, Jamie Robe. I'm the author of the Day Before Disaster, Procrastinator's Guide to Hurricane Preparedness. And in today's episode, I have written a little essay about some of the mindset things that I've encountered over the years and decades I've been preparing for tropical storms and hurricanes here in Florida. I'm actually in South Carolina visiting my mother, and this area is also very prone to hurricane threats. It's literally like barrier islands up here with the ocean on one side and the rivers on the other, and I've been involved in an evacuation up here once. So, you know, this is something that is on my mind a lot, but I'm going to start by saying that every hurricane prep step that you take today is a gift of time, calm, and safety that you're giving to your future self and your family. So let's get that in our minds as we start talking about some of the problems. And and my whole goal with this this episode, the show, is to help somebody out there who's finding this episode, and you might be encountering problems in one of two areas: the long game mindset, where you're doing long-term preparation and you're encountering some problems, and the second one is the short-term mindset problems that you have when there's actually a hurricane or tropical storm threat bearing down on you, and you're trying to do some maybe last minute things or trying to get your plan in order. So let's go through this together. I must say, it is, when someone says been there, done that, I am with you 100%, because I have gone through the very things I'm going to talk about here and try to give you some practical tips that have helped myself in these situations, and give you encouragement, because I believe that anyone can get through this situation if they can get their mindset locked in and what they need to do. So these things have worked for myself and my family, and let's get right to it here. So the first thing is the long game mindset. So beating prepper fatigue. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've all done long projects, maybe home improvement projects. You're going to renovate a bathroom, and instead of it taking a day, it ends up taking a month or something like that. Okay, so you know, when we're tackling long-term preparation for hurricanes, the biggest enemy isn't always a lack of resources, so that can be stressful as well, because things cost money and time and effort. It's I think that one of the big problems is momentum decay, because it's incredibly tough to maintain a focus on a project that drags on for days, weeks, or months, especially when it requires a commitment to review and update every year. Because these things that you're putting in place now are, you know, the fuel could go bad for your generator, your water needs to be renewed every year or two, or, you know, all these different things need to be checked and updated. So anyway, our brains are wired for immediate feedback. So pouring the time, energy, and money into a system that you hope you never have to use feels counterintuitive. And I've been chided many times by family and friends, well-meaning, I guess, that they're choosing to not do something in advance, and I might be investing in, you know, shutters for my home, or a generator, or solar, or whatever. And, you know, that adds a level of stress. It's easy to let procrastination take over, believe me. That's why I put procrastination in the title of my book, the subtitle. I am a procrastinator, I must admit it. But convincing yourself that you'll get to it next weekend, because the threat seems so abstract. There is no threat if you're doing long-term prep. You know, it's something that might happen in months or weeks or years in the head. So keeping your head in the game means reframing the effort, so you're not just buying supplies or cutting plywood for shutters or whatever. You're actually buying future peace of mind. So that's very important to think. You're buying future peace of mind. And the other way to look at this is you're building a fortress for your family's safety, comfort, and well-being. So you're doing something. It may be somewhat abstract to other people, but keep those things in mind. That future peace of mind and building that fortress. Here's some practical things that I've found that helps. You know, chunk it down. Don't try to build the ultimate hurricane plan in one weekend. Unless you are, if you're a single person and you have only have a few, you know, gallons of water and a flashlight, and you own an apartment and you're planning to evacuate, whatever, you may be able to do this real quick. But if you have a house, or you have you live in an apartment and you've got a big family, you've got pets, these things can take weeks of work to get all the things together. So obviously we're not doing this full time, so you need to break your long-term setup into micro tasks. You know, like maybe you buy your water at the dollar store and store it in your closet one weekend. You know, maybe another day you investigate, a type of battery backup system, or buy your fuel for your generator, etc. So make a realistic timeline. The book that I wrote, it has the steps. So, you know, I break everything down into the 10 hurricane prep steps just for this reason. And those are broken down into all sorts of ideas and subtasks as well. So, you know, chunk it down. And then build an annual reset trigger. What I mean by that is, you know, you need to review your plan at, you know, once a year at the minimum, so that you can check and see if your flashlight batteries are still good, that your fuel, you still have fuel for your generator, that your food supply isn't expired, etc., etc. So tie your yearly review into a predictable, non-negotiable calendar event or something. June 1st is an obvious, date. There's usually not a hurricane. Well, sometimes there are tropical storms and hurricanes early on, but, you know, June 1st or something around that time, you know, treat it like an annual home inspection type of thing rather than a chore. You know, make it a family fun event even, you know, where everyone helps out. So, you know, you've got to have something that you review this. And then focus on dual use. What I mean by that is you can prioritize projects and gear that improve your everyday life or add long-term value to your home. You know, obviously, if you're going to put solar or a home battery system, those things won't just help you in a hurricane. They can help you on, you know, every day maybe, or when there's a regular storm or something else happens. I'll give you a perfect example of this is a portable HVAC system that our family went through a storm, I can't remember how many years ago, it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer, where we lost power for a long time and we did not have any kind of way to cool. We had like a fan, box fan that we could run, but we did not have a backup to the air conditioning system because big HVAC systems, especially here in Florida, you know, we've got two on our house, a 3.5 ton and a 1.5 ton. Train system, I think they are, and you know, they're very expensive. They have to have the 240 volt, you know, full up power, and a smaller generator can't power those. And we did not have electricity, and we did not have any way to cool, and it was very miserable. So we bought one of those little portable rolling HVAC units, and I call it R2D2. It's really a cute little thing, and that thing has held up great, and it runs on 120 volt, just a regular plug, and I can power that off of a generator, and we have used that many times in hurricanes since then, and it's paid off wonderfully. Like, I mean, I'm talking like 5 or 6 days where there's, you know, everyone else is sweating bullets and sweltering in their house. It's always super humid after a hurricane goes through. because of the rain that's fallen, and just it can be miserable. And that's helped us. And, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we had a lizard crawl into one of the 3.5-ton unit on half our house, and it shorted out the capacitor, and we didn't have, a way to cool that part of the house, and we whipped that thing out, and it can cool off a surprisingly large room. So that has helped us, you know, and so that's a dual use. That's something that really can benefit you after a hurricane if you've got this full up setup for that, but it can also help you when other regular problems happen. So I just want to say that every step you take today is a gift of time, calm, and safety, and I'll throw in comfort that you're giving to your future self, you know, let's say after a hurricane or a tropical storm hits your area. So this is a gift that you're giving yourself and your family. Okay, so let's go on to, let's say you're watching this and it's a short-term crunch, okay? You've got a hurricane track on the weather news, and, you know, maybe it's been going on for days, and it really looks like something's going to hit your area, and you're navigating that cone of panic, okay? They call it the cone of probability that the hurricane track can go in. Remember, it's not just a line that you're looking at on those maps. It's probable zone that this whole eye could go through. But you also have that cone of panic, I call it. So when a hurricane track is locked into your coordinates and the threat is actively breathing down your neck, your brain goes into survival mode, and that is a chaotic situation to be in. I have found personally that's a cocktail of fear, anxiety, and physical exhaustion, because when you start working on these things, and you may be exhausted because of just the stress of the whole thing, your mind can start racing with the what ifs. You're anticipating what could happen. You get adrenaline, cortisol goes through your body. This is a stressful situation. And even the smallest thing can start to become, seem like an insurmountable mental hurdle. And in my case, I've been in IT for my entire professional career, and I've had to juggle almost every time this has happened. I can't just say I'm not going to come in. I've got to help prep the organization that I'm working for at the time. And, you know, that is, you know, that just adds to the stress level as well. So, you may be working at a grocery store checking out groceries, and you got to worry about, you know, getting your own home in order, and you can't just stop, you know, they won't let you off from your job. So, you know, that's a real thing. So these are high stake moments in our lives. And, you've got to follow some things. And these are some things that I found that help. So mute the noise. You know, I love watching weather things, but I'm very selective about who and what I tune into, because I won't mention certain channels and networks and things that are out there. They may have incredibly cool technology, and they may have the most professional meteorologists and scientists and reporters, but sometimes, you know, I just don't handle the thing where they're, you know, deploying people to just stand on a beach somewhere, you know, 2 days before there's a storm. They can really be focused more on hype sometimes. I want fact-based information. And so I recommend, you know, mute the noise, try to step away from that 24/7 news cycle and constantly checking things. And especially social media can have a diverse level of, you know, of information, their correctness or incorrectness. But check the official things at intervals. You can look at the National Hurricane Center. They update on certain times every day, and that's really the mothership of hurricane information anyway. But I highly recommend you, if you have a station, a TV station or a radio station, someone that, you know, a meteorologist that you trust, a team that you trust, them, watch them or listen to them. If you or you can just go to the National Hurricane Center and keep up with what they're showing. You know, I have a lot of resources on the website here at hunkerdownguide.com. If you do go over and look at this, you can see that I have a weather, I call it the tropical weather section, and a hurricane tracking room, and I have maps and stuff from the Hurricane Center and other sources there. So, you know, again, try to get just the facts and not the hype. The other thing is you want to have something that you could run on airplane mode type of templates. You don't want to be improvising things. You want to have, when you get panicky or stressed, rely on pre-written step-by-step checklists that you've already done for yourself, or you've gotten from someone or some organization. You know, there's things in newspapers, there's stuff from government agencies. Of course, you know, we have stuff on our website here at hunkerdownguide.com, and I have the book Day Before Disaster. You know, that has old, you know, I call the 10 prep steps. So those are, you need to have something you follow, so you're not making things up and doing panic buying. I have seen with my own eyes, and it just tears my heart out. I mean, I'm not kidding you. The stuff when people go and they buy all the water and all the bread and all the stuff off the shelves at grocery stores, it's amazing what happens. You know, there's not a drop of propane fuel anywhere, you know, plywood. I literally was at a Lowe's picking up something that I had bought. It was a battery thing that I had bought days ahead, and it was actually delivered to the store. And I went, and the store had people winding hundreds and hundreds, maybe, I don't know how many people were in there, but it was just families and individuals with choppers, and these wound the line, the checkout lines wound up and down the long, long aisles throughout the store, and people were buying anything that they thought they could stick on a window. I mean, this was a threat when we had like a potential Category 5 storm coming, and everyone was freaking out. Now, I had my shutters and my stuff, so I wasn't there for that part of it, and luckily, I was able to get my thing and not go through that line. It was very eye-opening that when things get panicky, people get panicky, they can just waste money on crazy things sometimes. It defies rational thought, but you know, I've seen it with my own eyes, so you want to avoid that as much as possible. And then another thing is to enforce some kind of mandatory pauses, micro pauses. You know, take 5 minutes out. You know, if you are just reaching a point of exhaustion, physical and mental exhaustion and anxiety, take a 5 minute stop. Have a drink of water while you still have the nice cold water flowing out of the tap. You know, take some breaths, and then just focus yourself back on one thing. Don't worry about too many things. Just try to get one thing done right there that's in front of you. So I just want to say that fear and anxiety are completely normal if you're in this situation right now, but they don't have to run your show. You know, trust your preparation, take a breath, and then just handle the next thing. You know, that's what we can do. We really only can do one thing at a time. And I want to close this episode out here. Keep this in mind. You might be having some problems, okay, long-term or short-term, but you are actually doing something about the potential threat in the future. And most people, for whatever reason, often ignore reality, and they often do very little or no logical hurricane prep. I mean, I have seen this over and over and over. And I've seen the aftermath where I literally have multiple houses and my neighbors plugged into my generator because they didn't have a generator. They don't have anything, and they're going to lose all the contents of the refrigerator, which is now hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And you know, one thing about being prepared, if you're prepared, you might be able to help other people around you. But I'm not trying to Say they're not smart people. They are very smart people. You know, the whole society in general, well, most people are not doing the things to prepare properly, in my humble opinion. So I just want to say, your awareness, just your awareness and focus and preparations are helping you and your family. And I know you can do this. I know you can get through it. So with that, I just want to always say, you know, join us here on our website. We have videos. We have a course now on Hurricane Plan 101 to find out if you have a, if you're in an evacuation zone. We have, of course, this weather tracking room here where we've got forecasts, links to forecasts, models, you know, radar things, very cool. So I like the technology, so I've kind of built a tool for myself and share it with all of you. It's a great resource. And I also have my book, so I'll plug that here. Sponsored by Day Before Disaster, A Procrastinator's Guide to Hurricane Preparedness. Again, a book is good. One reason I spent the time to write this book is, you know, I want to help as many people as possible. And if when you're in this kind of situation, it's good to have some kind of step by steps. So that's what I'm focused on with the book. I do have a chapter on encouragement as well, and another chapter on mindset. So that might help you out as well. But this kind of a book is also handy, because if you're ever in a disaster situation, and some of this information might be useful after the storm's gone by, and of course you don't have internet or computer connections and power maybe and things like that. So, you know, the old-fashioned book, something you can hold in your hand and it works even without electricity. So I just wanted to share this with you. And again, I know you can do it. You can get through this, and you will get through this.